All right. Thank you. So, yeah, so we will again review what we covered from verses 1 to 5 of Acts chapter 13, and then we will try to finish up to verse 12 and beyond that. So we learned what we learned last Sabbath from verses 1 and 2 is how there were prophets in Antioch. Barnabas, Paul, and John were at Antioch. But the scriptures in chapter 13 of verse 1 tells us they were also prophets and teachers, right? And Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So they were prophets and teachers. The distinction made for us between prophets and teachers, they're not the same. Even though the outcome is the same, the result is the same. It's the edification of the brethren, but it's through different means. Teachers learn by the Spirit perfectly. The teachers of that are from Elohim, they don't learn and misunderstand and misconstrue knowledge, mistransfer knowledge, as we've read. Some people learn things and don't teach it right. Some people learn things wrongly, but the teachers who are from Elohim are teaching by the power of the Spirit. So yes, they study and learn and teach, but their learning is made perfect by the Spirit. Their learning is made perfect by the Spirit, and their teaching is made perfect by the Spirit. The teachers from Elohim will not make mistakes. And when I speak of mistakes, I'm not speaking about how their manner of speaking, but rather the truth that is coming will be truth. We know Moses stumbled about his words. We know Paul himself said he's not a great speaker either. So then the perfection is not necessarily that, but I'm sure the Spirit improved their speaking ability too. See, he told Moses, "I will be with your mouth," right? So there's a difference between a prophet and a teacher. So the teacher learns by the Spirit, studies the scriptures, studies nature or the work of Elohim's hands, and then accurately transfer that knowledge to the hearers. Not only accurately, but transfers that knowledge in ways that all learning styles will receive it. All of us don't learn the same way or at the same pace, but these Spirit-led teachers can teach in such a way that all, young and old, educated, non-educated, will understand, and their teaching will be perfect. Now, the prophets, however, they receive information, but not from reading, but by inspiration. The Spirit tells them what it is they need to say, and then they say it accurately. Why are they chosen? Because they're usually the most meek people and very, very, very given to faithfulness. All believers are faithful, but there are some people that are given to that. All believers are loving, but there are some believers that are more loving than others. You understand what I'm saying? And Elohim knows that. Of course he knows that, right? But he judges justly and will give the body of believers according to what they are already most equipped for. And where they are lacking, he supplies their lack. But he does not negate what they already have. So let's move on. So there's a difference between prophets and teachers. There were prophets and teachers. And then the next thing we saw is how, again, we see this throughout the book of Acts and throughout the scriptures, that servants of Elohim, they don't have big egos. They're not self-seeking. They're not seeking to glorify themselves, but they're seeking to serve Elohim and to serve each other and to elevate each other. And this is manifest here in that here we have Saul or Paul and Barnabas, who were chosen originally, but are being commissioned by others who are not apostles. Just think about that. And they had no problems with that. And we saw that the Holy Spirit is a sentient being, if we want to say, is Elohim. It's not just the power of Elohim, as some would say. That's not honoring the spirit at all when they say things like, it's better that people not say anything than to say the wrong thing. As it is written, even a fool is counted wise when he is silent. So it says, so while they were worshiping the Eternal, that means serving him or praising him, it might be, and fasting, they were neglecting themselves. They were focusing mainly. They were not thinking about their bodily needs. They were earnestly seeking the fellowship of the Eternal. The set-apart spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh said, set apart for me, set apart for me. So this is the spirit, the Holy Spirit thing. So please, don't let the false teaching that the spirit is just a power of Elohim, as some teach. That's error. They're failing to put all the scriptures together. Yes, there are scriptures that says he is the power of Elohim. But that's not all he is. Messiah is also called the power of Elohim. Is that all what Yeshua is? No, Yeshua is more than just the power of Elohim. But he is called the wisdom and power of Elohim too, right? So, but we, no one was going to say Yeshua is not a living being, is only the power. So neither should we say the same thing about the spirit. For from the very beginning, Elohim and his everlasting arms were declared. He says, and he spoke the logos, the devah, the word. And he says, and the spirit brooded over the surface of the earth when he was creating in Genesis chapter 1. So it's not a Trinitarian as if as spoken today. It's just the Bible facts. If someone uses the word Trinity to convey this accurately, there's no problem with that. So we need to learn to be free and not to be bogged down by terminology and things like that that people are using, that Satan is using to divide. Satan uses the scriptures to divide. Satan uses the scriptures to deceive. But we are not to be deceived. And we have to understand that it's not the things being used, it's the one using them that is wrong. It's the one using them that is wrong. Elohim created rocks. He created metal. A righteous person will use the rocks to clean, to build, while an evil person will use the same rocks and other items to kill. What's wrong? Is it the rocks? Is it the material? No, it's not the material. It's the individual. It's the person and what they do with it. So likewise, words. Well, as I said before, the word Trinity is not a bad thing. I don't use it. I want you to know why I don't use it, because people get confused over it. But as a congregation of Israel, we must know so we can be free. Because the word Trinity was a word, again, as I mentioned, that was established by Tertullian, a very faithful servant of Elohim. And he used that term just to mean that there is one Father, Elohim, and from him proceeds the Son and the Spirit. That's what that meant. But today, people have perverted that term and use it to mean three different gods. Three gods, three persons in one God, as they would say. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't teach that, and neither did Tertullian teach that. That's not what Tertullian meant when he said Trinity. But over the years, people have polluted the terminology as they've polluted the scriptures. Even the word Sabbath. We say Sabbath, but now, because people have perverted the idea of Sabbath, we need to qualify by saying seventh-day Sabbath, right? Because some people have polluted the word Sabbath to mean the first day of the week, right? So again, it's how we use the word. So let's be wise and not fall apart about words. Let's move on. So we see that the Spirit is living and is a safe fellowship of Elohim with a safe form, a diminutive form of Elohim in our midst. Remember, the psalmist says he humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and on earth. So when he sends forth his spirit, it's not in his fullness. Because if it's in his fullness, nothing would exist. But he sends his spirit in such a way that can be with us, dwell with us, and dwell in us. And likewise, his son, he sends his son in a manner in which we can live with and fellowship with. So What else did we learn? So we saw again the humility and the unity of the brethren. Paul and Barnabas, especially Paul, who was made Barnabas and Paul, who are apostles, had no problem being sent by those who were not apostles. It says in verse 3, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So Simeon and Lucius and Manaen set hands on Paul and Barnabas and set them forth. So that's very important for us to catch, because as I said, there are people today that claim to be prophets and ministers and pastors, and they think it's their, everything should be them, done by them alone. And no one has the right to do anything unless they say so. But that's not how it goes. It's what the Spirit says. And what the Spirit says is always provable. See, if I say the Spirit says something, or somebody else in the congregation says the Spirit says something, we need to be able to prove it. We don't just listen to somebody who says the Spirit says something, because when the Spirit says something, it becomes evident to all. Let's move on. So that's one of the things we've learned. So we saw in verse 4 that they were sent by the Holy Spirit. They went to Seleucia, they went to Cyprus, then they arrive at Salamis. These are all places that the Spirit sent them to accomplish a mission. Now let's continue with verse 5, where we left off. So, and since we read it already, I will not read it for the sake of time. So they arrived at Salamis, and what did they do? They proclaimed the word of Elohim. And as we saw, is that the work of Elohim is not to build hospitals and schools and all of these things. There's nothing wrong with those things. Those things are beneficial for the flesh and carnal needs of man. But the congregation of Elohim is not here for that. Our primary responsibility is to proclaim the word of Elohim, the kingdom of Elohim that changes lives, so that when schools are built, they're being built by righteous people who will make righteous choices. That when hospitals are built, they will be care places where people come in and pray, where yes, there are physicians that tend to the physical and bind the wounds, but they are also praying for the healing power of Elohim, not atheist or agnostics who don't believe. You have a place where people come to be healed and tended to by believers, and where people are indeed being healed. So they went there and they saw a magician. And the word magician there, sorcerer, in the Greek it's listed as magos, right? And that's, I believe that's where we get the word magi, magos. They're similar. They met this magos, this sorcerer, this magician. And his name is Elimas. And I did a little check. I don't know if Elimas kind of sound like a little bit of Hebrew about it, but I'm not sure. But I won't say. But his name is Elimas, but he's a magos, a magician. And that's where in English we get the word magician, magos. For that is the meaning of his name. And he opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Who's the deputy of that island? Do you notice the level that's being addressed here? Remember, Paul says he does not fight as if he's beating the air, but he fights, in other words, he works strategically. So if you notice, he is speaking, Paul is serving. The Spirit of Elohim gives them wisdom to serve strategically. He is speaking to the high levels. And you will see that throughout the scriptures, where they try to speak with the people in highest authority so that when they speak with the person in highest authority and tell them the truth, then when they're converted, that person then works with them to spread that knowledge throughout the land, because they're using also the human influence, because people look up to this deputy, this proconsul, right? He's in charge. So if he believes, why does he believe? How could such a wise man come to believe? There must be something about this faith, right? So all of these positive things of even of the flesh and the spirit, because the flesh is not totally evil, the flesh can surrender to the Spirit to do good too, which is what believers are, right? We're led by the Spirit, and our flesh submits to the will of the Spirit, not evil. So Paul is reaching out to the proconsul, but the magos, Elimas, he opposed them. And what was he trying to do? He was trying to turn the governor away from the faith. What is faith, right? In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, we know what it says about faith. What does it say in the book of Hebrews of faith? Now faith, that's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1. Now faith is the assurance, the substance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Now we have to understand this by reading the rest of chapter 11. Faith is not just believing blindly, which is what many in the religious communities do. Faith is what you've come to trust and believe by proof. That's why it says it is the assurance. You don't just become assured because, okay, I'm going to believe it. No, you have to have the proof. I've heard many times in the churches and things like the denomination, you have to believe. And they misunderstand what Messiah says. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. It doesn't mean believing without proof. That's not what he is saying. It's that we need to be able to believe by understanding. By understanding. Because you can see and not understand. But the evidence, the work of Elohim's hands are everywhere. Some see and don't understand. But those who are diligent and pay attention and seek with their hearts, even when they don't know Elohim, Elohim know they're seeking with all their heart. Elohim reveals himself to them through the works of his hand, through the scriptures. Many see the words and read the words, but don't understand. And so have no faith. So faith is understanding. So you have that assurance. You have correct understanding, correct knowledge that is sound and it fills you. There's no contradiction. There is no cognizant dissonance. There's no qualms. There's no doubt. It's full. It's complete. You know it's true. Absolutely true. It's verifiable. That's what faith is. Okay, if we're trying to believe something and we really don't have that complete empirical sense of what it is we understand, then we don't have faith. It doesn't mean you're in a bad way. It means you need to build your faith. You need to build that faith and make it solid. So it is the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of Elohim, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are seen. By faith Abel offered to Elohim a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, though through which he was commended as righteous, Elohim commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because Elohim had taken him. Before he was taken, he was commanded as having pleased Elohim. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to Elohim must believe it that he is. It's not that he exists. It's translated as he is. That's not what it's saying. It says that he is. It's the yod word there. It's that he is, because that's what his name means. Okay, his name means he is. It's more than he exists. Exists kind of reduces the broad spectrum of the meaning. We are not to try to reduce Elohim's the name. The name that was given to us was just given to us. His name is beyond what was revealed to us. Okay? He gave us the name that's most comprehensive of what he is. But who he is cannot be completely defined. It's because we are limited in our understanding. And so he gives us a word that when we hear it, we immediately know what it means. But you know what happens? We start hearing other things and then we forget what it means. To the point we start trying to say it means this, it means that. No, it means that eternal. That's what is meant by that. That he is the eternal, having no beginning, no end. Horses exist. Cows exist, you know, man exists, but they're not eternal. But so the meaning within that he is that he is the eternal, having no beginning, having no end. There's only one being alone that has that characteristics. And that's the Father. Not even the Son has that characteristic. That's why people understand. The Son proceeded from him. So did his Spirit. He is Spirit. But the Holy Spirit proceeds from him. When something proceeds, it has a starting point. You have to understand, but I won't go too much into these things. Only the Father is eternal, having no beginning, no end. And that's why he says, I am, or he is. Let's move on. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Whoever draws near to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who seek him by faith. And this is in verse 7. Notice where it is. It's in verse 7, the 7th verse, perfection, right? It says, "By," and this is how you will understand. This may be coincidental or it may be purposeful, but it's in verse 7. That's how you'll understand what faith is, to understand it. By faith, Noah, being warned by Elohim concerning events as yet unseen. So let's understand. He did not just believe things that were not seen. He had the evidence. What was the evidence? Warned by Elohim. He received the word, the contact. He received absolute contact from Elohim. And he believed Elohim. So he did not just believe, you know, he did not just one day wake up, you know, I'm going to build an ark. I think it's going to rain 40 days. You know, he did not, that's not what happened. The word, the certainty of Elohim came and told him. So that was the, but did he see the rain? Were there clouds in the sky that looked like, no. It was not seen. But what was the source of his evidence? What was that evidence? What was the source of his faith? The word of Elohim. Was it something he read? No. The word, the voice that spoke with him. So that's why it says, by faith, Noah being warned by Elohim concerning events as yet unseen. So that's why we have to understand it is the assurance, the conviction of things that are not yet seen. Some people stop at this verse and define it themselves and come up with wrong conclusions. You have to have the evidence, but not evidence of the flesh, but evidence by the Spirit or by the word of Elohim. You have to have evidence from Elohim to believe. And that's why when he sends messengers, he doesn't send ordinary people to come and say, you know what, tomorrow this is going to happen. No, he sends prophets. And prophets are people, they know that when they speak, whatever they say will happen, they have the trend or evidence that whatever they say always happens. So they know them, they first call them seers because somehow they know what's going to happen. And so they had confidence in these people. They had faith that whatever they said was going to happen. Okay, they had faith that Elohim actually spoke to them. So let's move on. So review that and look at Noah, how the word of Elohim came to him, which was the solid evidence to give him conviction. And what he has not seen was the promise, was the word that there would be rain that would destroy the earth. But he believed the word, what Elohim said. Elohim was the evidence. Elohim must be our evidence, not text. Some people have never come to know Elohim, but they claim to believe the Bible. I want to say that's very unlikely. You have to know Elohim first. Now, you may read the Bible, and reading the Bible, you may struggle with it, and you start praying to Elohim. And then Elohim helps you to believe the Bible. That's what happened to me. I struggled to believe the Bible because my nature. I'm worse than Thomas, doubting Thomas, as I said. But he had mercy on me, and when I cried out to him, help me to believe, he taught me himself and caused me to believe. Let's move on. So he tried to turn him from this faith, this true word. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Verse 10, it said, you son of the devil. Whoa. You enemy of all unrighteousness, full of deceit and villainy. Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the eternal? This is Paul's first encounter with him. But the Spirit of Elohim revealed much to him, because that was one of the main things of the mission. Remember, we read in verse 3, separate Paul and Barnabas for this work, for this mission that I have. The Spirit was sending him to conquer the magician. And by the way, his name is also Bar Jesus, or Bar Yeshua, as we saw in verse 6. He also called him Bar. That's what he calls him. Son of salvation. What a deception that is, he calls himself. So Paul, full of the Spirit, looks intently at him. This is not being done by the flesh. That's why the Scriptures is telling us he's full of the Spirit. The Bible again is teaching us about the Holy Spirit, so we do not misunderstand. Chapter 13 is to give us clear understanding of the Holy Spirit, what it means to have the Holy Spirit. It's not just saying, I have the Holy Spirit, and jumping up and down like some do. It's having discernment. So he was full of the Holy Spirit, saw the attack against the faith, and he looked intently at him. You could imagine why that is said. That means Paul had his gaze on him, not by human emotion, but by the power of the Spirit in him, just directing his, remember Messiah, when his face was as flint, by the power, by the Spirit in him, to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his sufferings on our behalf. But in this case, Paul, by the Spirit, was like flint, intently, intensely looking at that magician, and said by the Spirit, you son of the devil, you enemy of all unrighteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop? So he understood who he was. He understood. And he also understood that he has been doing this before, because he was a friend, not a friend, but he stayed with the proconsul, the deputy of the city, what? To transmit the demonic teachings through the deputy throughout the land. And now the Spirit of Elohim sent Paul to correct that, to now get rid of this evil man, and then to send the message of Elohim through the deputy. Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Eternal? So he was being deceptive. Notice his name was Bar Yeshua. So he was taking the words, probably some of the teachings of Yeshua, some of the teachings of the Scriptures, and deceiving with them. And that's why we need to be careful, because a lot of people are doing just that. They're taking the words of Elohim. They isolate the words. They do it in many ways. They take a sentence and isolate it from the rest of the passage so you don't know what it says. And then they teach you their own things about what it says. That's one thing that they do. Then they do another thing. They'll take a word out of the sentence itself, isolate that word. The word purposely by the Spirit has broad meanings, but what they do, they take that word and give it only one of its meanings, not the entire meaning, and they deceive that way. Let's be wise. Be wise of those who are boasting they know Hebrew, and then they're deceiving people, telling them things that aren't true. They're lying. Hebrew is a reconstructed language that even the scholars struggle with. That the scholars, many words they don't know to this very day. You know the word of the name of Aaron? Nobody knows what that means. I want you to know that. Nobody knows what that means. There are a lot of things they don't know, but yet you have these people that are coming around claiming to know Hebrew. Wow. And then they're isolating words, isolating sounds, which doesn't make any sense, because in the Hebrew language itself, the Hebrew language that was spoken in ancient Israel, they had different pronunciations for the same word. You see examples of that in the Torah, in the book of Judges, where different tribes pronounce words differently. So how can you argue and start dividing people, trying to tell them you must pronounce this way, that way? That's not true. Because today, nobody really knows how the words are pronounced. They were put together as best as possible by intelligent men. But when you ask those scholars, they tell you, we're not sure. These are intelligent guesses. So the word of life is about faith, not about intelligent guesses. The word of the Elohim is by knowing things absolutely. What happens if you don't know something absolutely? It's okay. Elohim did not reveal it to you, but stick to what he has revealed to you absolutely by faith. Faith is perfect knowledge in something. If you don't have perfect knowledge in that area, don't try to tie down other people to it because it's not correct. Elohim did not reveal it for his purpose. We don't need to know everything perfectly to be saved. But whatever we do, whatever we teach, whatever we stick to must be those things we know perfectly. And then we are right in his sight. We should not stick to things that we don't know perfectly and spread it. That's where all the confusion is coming about. Stick to what we know perfectly. Stick to what we know is of faith, sound, perfect understanding of things. And the rest, in time, Elohim will reveal to us. Let's move on. So he knew who this man was. And he called them exactly by the Spirit what he was. Paul wasn't calling him names by emotion. Paul was identifying who this person was by the Spirit. If you notice, Paul and he have met many people. They did not react to them that way. This person is a villain. This person is bent for evil. He is outright an instrument of Satan knowingly, by choice. You son of the devil, you enemy of all unrighteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the eternal? And so many, unfortunately, are doing the same thing for money and gain and pride. Verse 11, let me try to finish. And now, behold, the hand of the eternal is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. This is the declaration by Elohim against this villain. And he used his servants, Paul and Barnabas, to do this, especially Paul. The hand of the eternal, the Spirit of Elohim is upon you. The Logos of Elohim is upon you. You know why? Because the hand of the eternal is the Spirit and the Son of Elohim. That's what the hands of Elohim are, the everlasting arms. And what happens? And immediately a mist of darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. This mist of darkness only affected him, fell upon him. And immediately he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. He was deceiving. He was claiming to be somebody. And now others are leading him. Help me, help me. I don't know where I'm going. Elohim has humbled him. And for a season. Why for a season? Because Elohim is merciful, giving him a chance to repent of his evil. Then the proconsul, then the deputy, believed when he saw what had occurred. For he was astonished at the teaching, doctrine of the teaching of the eternal. See, by this visible act, he was being taught. He knows because he's a deputy, he's a man of authority. Now he sees there's a power on high that is greater than any power. And that's why we need to respect the Holy Spirit and give him the honor due to him. That's why it is written, you shall do so and so in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. Because the Son and the Spirit both proceed from the Father. They both represent the Father in different ways. I would have loved to continue, but we'll continue next Sabbath. Thank you for listening.